You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, welcome on in. Off the Edge with me, Cam Jordan. I'm the host. I'm the solo artist. Until I bring in, you know, some friends later, like the greatest to ever lace them up and, you know, throw for the most 5,000-yard seasons ever, win a Super Bowl in 2009. 2 years before I got to the New Orleans Saints, Drew Breesiana, Drew or die. If there's a breeze, there's a way. You know, Drew Brees, that's who we're bringing on later. But anyways, I also want to, you know, talk about the CBS Content for Change, which is a series that I hope you guys will be impacted on. Not only how I'm using my platform to create a positive change in the communities I'm in New Orleans, but as well as just think about how you can be a positive impact as well. So we're going free flow. We're going to have that thing going. So tap in with me on Off the Edge with Cam Jordan. Make sure you spread the word. Tell a friend. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave a review and follow us on Apple Podcasts or the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm just saying, scoot off your seat just a little bit. Let's get Off the Edge with Cam J and talk about just things that happen across the league. You know, let's talk about Kevin Byard, which until we had the same Pro Bowl, I kept calling him Kevin Byard. My guy Kenny Vaccaro went from the Saints to Tennessee, and he corrected me, and I've been right ever since. Byard. Nope, maybe I've not been right. Byard. Either way, All-Pro Pro Bowl safety Kevin B is now going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, you gotta remember, like, players are just commodities at the end of the day. Like, to be traded, an all-pro guy, somebody who's been a staple for the Titans defense for so long, is now going to the Philadelphia Eagles, which have unlimited weapons on defense. Their entire D-line of weapons. You know, so one of the Edmund brothers is now going to Tennessee, and they didn't even mention it, but Kevin Byard is now going to Philadelphia Eagle. I'm going to keep messing up his name, and that is disrespectful because that man is a dog. Hopefully he does well in Philadelphia. I know the Philadelphia defense is stacked. Continuing on, right? Across the league, you're looking around. You see, you know, Monday Night Football, Minnesota Vikings pull off a win against the 49ers. Cameron Bynum, the University of California Bears product. Cameron Bynum comes up with a big interception. I just thought I'd say shout out to another University of California product. Go Bears, University of California at Berkeley, if you need to know, Cal. So now let's just move on. Speaking of, you know, just looking across the league, can we just, like, take a second and talk about what happened with Denver Broncos Kareem Jackson? Ream? My dog has been a heavy hitter his whole career. He's in year 14, still putting out hits. He hits a wide receiver, and they ended up ejecting him, giving him a suspension for a hit where two people are moving at their fastest, meeting, colliding. Can't you sort of put that on part of the game? This game is not for the faint of heart. It's not for the weak. What do you want him to do? Let him get extra yards. Your best defense is, man, we used to be the Legion of Boom. Legion of Boom. San Francisco, when they went to the Super Bowl in 2011, they had Dante Hittner, Navarro Bowman. They had Patrick Willis. That being said, I'm just saying, like, it's a part of the game to go ahead and have the safety coming downhill. That's a part of the game. Defensive players are nervous to smack somebody because they're close to the sideline. So now they get an extra 5 yards because you don't want to really hit him because he could step out of bounds right before he does. And now it's a roughing the defensive player or whatever the penalty is. Come on, man. Roughing the passer? How is that a thing if It's within a protocol. If I catch a quarterback in the backfield and he's got his hand still, like he's got his hand on balls and he's trying to tuck it, there ain't no roughing anything at that point. That's a sack. If you see a wide receiver catch a ball, a safety should be coming downhill to meet him. I'm just saying, there's defenses, and it seems like we're fighting the world. That being said, you know, there's a lot of great games being played. I think, you know, you look across the league and you see Myles Garrett having the time of his life with his juke moves, with his shoulder shimmies. And I'm looking like, hey, he's going against these quarterbacks holding a pill. Let's see some of that. You know, Myles Garrett has been showing his tail off this year. But he had two sacks, blocked a punt, batted a pass. What didn't he do this last week? Man, you love to see it. And you talk about, you know, they got blocked a punt. My bad. He blocked a field goal. I mean, there just wasn't a stat line Myles Garrett didn't touch. So when it all comes down to it, man, it's the more fun that they have, better defensive plays. Like, that's what it takes, that defensive mindset to start having fun. That's how you see defenses take over. You know, I'm thinking we're going to have to talk about this game, which seems like it's so far away. When you get like a 4-day break, it seems like you had a full bye week. You know, we played a Thursday night game against the Jaguars and lost to them, which I'm still not getting over. You know, I think there was a couple plays in this game where we had a chance to win. There's always going to be room for improvement, and I'm always going to put it on defense. If our defensive line stops Trevor Lawrence from scrambling, turns those, so at least one or two of those scrambles through whatever it was into sacks, it's going to put ourselves in better position to give more opportunities to our offense. I think our offense woke up late in the fourth quarter, and you have to be able to go start to finish. You have to come in all phases and be exactly who you think you are. That being said, we've got the Indianapolis Colts to go to this upcoming weekend. We have to be on our toes. We have to come out swinging. We have to deliver the fight to them each and every play from start to finish. Sitting here with 10 games left, like I said, ton of positive views in terms of, I think there's some room we can grow and some areas we can eliminate. And once that happens, you're going to start seeing these wins stack. That's what we're looking forward to. All right, so that's the Saints. And we're going to push that to the side right now simply because we can't just harp on the Saints. We talk about this podcast, you know, we're more than that. So the next segment being the CBS Content for Change series that I'll be featured on will be coming up November 5th on CBS on NFL Today. I think that it's a great series. Then you're going to, you know, highlight the community work that I'm a part of in terms of New Orleans, as well as give shout outs to guys that I see doing the work. You know, there's guys on our team alone, Tyron Matthews, Demario Davis, that are in the community heavy, creating work, creating positive vibes, and creating positive impacts in our surrounding community. So I'm always going to say shout out to my teammates who are doing the work. You're also going to, you know, just talk about how I've been able to partner up with Crescent City Corps, how, you know, my foundation, God Is Love, has been able to do shoe givebacks, you know, has been able to do these camps where kids remember, hopefully creating everlasting impacts, going to school visits, talking every Tuesday since I can recall being a part of the New Orleans Saints, talking to different middle schools and high schools, just trying to inspire the youth, the next generation, to be more than what they currently are. I grew up watching my father, Steve Jordan, Minnesota Vikings extraordinaire, Minnesota Vikings Ring of Honor, Minnesota Vikings, 50, all 50th team, you know, all world tight end, 6-time Pro Bowler, etc. Go out to the community and I want to give back. He helped start up the first tee program in Phoenix. And growing up like that, when you have physical evidence of how to give back to the community, it's easy to do so. You know, so growing up, I was like, how can I make my change? And talking to these kids, seeing these kids have a positive vibe, teaming up with great programs like whether it be Boys and Girls Club early on in my career, or YEP program, which is, you know, Youth Empowerment Project, which it speaks for itself. But being able to partner up with them on different drives, different accesses, different initiatives, and it makes it all worth the while just to see, you know, these smiles on people's faces. So that's hopefully what I think people will take from the Content for Change. That being said, we're going to transition on over to, you know, maybe like the last school visit that sort of went viral. Sitting there over at St. Anthony School, out in Gretna, which is the West Bank, which some people call is the best bank. I had this chance to talk to 10 or 12 different classrooms. You know, you figure 15 to 25 kids in each classroom. I'd like to say I saw at least 300 kids, right? And a moment went viral all through, you know, my Twitter and social, you know, on my socials, about this little kid who had this face was like, and then right after he was like, "Hey, why are you here?" "Man, cause I'm here for you, bro. Like, I want to see you be great. I want you to, you know, to, I want you to hit that next level, whatever that next level is. If you're a B student, I want you to have A's. If you're an A student, I want you to have A pluses." He ended up invited him to the game. You know, the Saints did a phenomenal job in finding them, hooking them up with the field passes. I don't even know where you get those from, so don't ask me. I'm not the guy for that. But they hooked him up with those. And, you know, next thing I know, I get a rap with my man for a little bit. Little brother looks just like him, you know, like it's a smooth gang. So hopefully he's inspired. I think that his parents clearly have done a great job of him being such a young, energetic, and respectful kid, bro. You know, I'm hopefully that smile will never leave, and he can look back on that moment as a positive impact in his life. So that's just, man, it's good times and major blessings, big vibes. And we moving on again, transitioning. I just want to say, you know, coming up next, I'm going to bring in, you know, somebody who I consider has always been a leader, somebody who has always been willing to mentor any and everybody, and who always has the right mindset to attack a game plan, to attack the way he works. And that's with my guy, Drew Brees. So coming up next, I'm bringing in former teammate, Super Bowl MVP, legend of the Saints, Drew Breeziana, Drew Orleans. It's breezy. It's easy. It's breezy. It's Drew Brees.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
And it is my honor and my privilege to bring in a teammate, a leader of sorts, a leader of men, because beyond just football, he does everything. Well, I don't know who he doesn't lead. You look up to him, I look up to him, the world looks up to him. It's Drew Orleans, Drew Breeziana. You know, it's Drew's way. It just is what it is. Drew Brees, Breeziana. My dog Mark V would hit him with all types of nicknames while he was throwing. Nice ball, number 9. I see Drew Breeziana is sailing today. You know, those type of situations. As we were practiced from 2011 through 2020, when I was teammates, he was part of the New Orleans Saints from 2006 to 2020. Woo! 15 years of New Orleans. Drew Brees, I appreciate you tapping in with me, big dog. Oh, welcome to Cam, Off the Edge with Cam Jordan.
MJ, you make me feel good, man. I don't have a hype guy anymore, you know? When I'm feeling down or depressed or, you know, just like down on myself, I just gotta hit you up. You and Mark, man, y'all are my guys.
Come on, man. You're my GOAT. You're my GOAT, you know? Like, nobody in the history of the NFL has ever thrown for more 5,000-yard seasons. You know, now that you're retired, I can say these things with confidence. Nobody's going to do it. You know, Super Bowl MVP. Been to the Super Bowl. Could have gone back to two or three of them in 2011 and 2019. Like, could have been records. Could have been us.
Hey, I wouldn't trade any of it, man. Those 15 years. And shoot, we had a lot. We had 10 seasons together, Cam. 10.
10.
I mean, you came in as that young pup, you know, talented, but kind of big eyes, right? Like trying to figure it out. And now look at you, man. You're like, you're the old dog. You're the one everybody goes to, giving out words of wisdom and advice based on all this wealth of knowledge and experience you have now, man.
No doubt. Who's your jeweler? Who's your suit guy? Right. Who's your can we get to football?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Who's your barber? I don't have a barber. I've been doing my hair like for so long. I got a great barber now. But who's your masseuse? I can't give you my masseuse because I use him. And I can't have him being too congested.
That's right. Yeah, there's some secrets that just, can't give out, you know.
Ask, absolutely. But like I said, leaders of men, Drew, let's talk about this. My kid plays in your league. I say it's the Drew League. I believe the name of the league is FNA. I call it Drew Orleans Ball. But, you started that up a couple years back. When did that start up? How did it get to New Orleans?
It's actually funny. I just kind of recognized what was behind me here. I've got this. That's actually right there. That's a little thank you from one of my FNA flag football teams. I've coached just about all my boys. So let's see, this is hard to believe too. My boys are now 14, 13, and 11. So ninth grade, seventh grade, sixth grade, but, had a chance to coach them all the way up. So yeah, we started, Baylen, it was actually, this started when Baylen was in kindergarten. He was playing in a flag football league. And it was a good league, but it was one of those things where I just saw all kinds of areas where it could improve. From just the overall family experience to the rules to and then it really just got me on this path of, youth football is interesting because, once you get to tackle, it is what it is. But the flag game is so different because, A, there's all these different leagues and they're playing by different rules. Some are 5-on-5, some are 6-on-6, some are 7-on-7, different field sizes, different flag, like all kinds of stuff. And I was like, how do I standardize this to a point where this becomes the type of flag football that's played that everybody really embraces because it's safe, it's fun, and it prepares kids in the best way for tackle football if they choose to want to go on and play tackle. So that was really the kind of the objective was how do we create the gold standard for flag football that kids can play and enjoy with like the reality that maybe 30 to 40% of all the kids that play flag football end up going on and playing tackle. But that's not the point. The point, I think, for me and for you is football has meant so much in our life. And it's taught us so much about life. We've developed so many traits, qualities, attributes as a result of football. And I think it's important that every kid gets a chance to experience that. And it doesn't have to be the tackle level. But how can we help them develop a love and a passion for the game that they'll carry with them forever? And if it wasn't for flag football, they may never get a chance to experience it.
No doubt.
That was like the origin and I think the, really the story behind how FNA started. And that was in 2017 in New Orleans. We started off with three leagues and then brought it to California. And then leagues started popping up in Texas and in the Midwest and other places. So now we've got 30 leagues nationwide, represented about 8 states. And it's awesome, man. It's awesome.
Right. I was like, it's taken off. My daughter, my 5-year-old Nia plays flag and football. She just scored her first touchdown this past weekend. And as a dad, I was like, oh, she's finally in there. Because at 5 years old, you either have like the really, really good kids that I swear have been training since birth. And you have everybody else at 5 years old. They're just like, oh, and there's an anthill right here. And just lollygagging. Man, it's like complete opposites. And now you see that difference. But she just scored her first touchdown. And previously she was on soccer and now she's like, Dad, I like playing flag football. I was like, hey, baby, that's all I want to do, expose you to something different.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing is, they just made the announcement last week that flag football will be in the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. Unveiling flag football. So it's going to be a 5-on-5 version, which I think is probably more appropriate just as you think about the worldwide kind of embracing of the sport of football that probably kind of brings the competitive levels more equal to across all countries. But you saw it this year with what they did with NFL teams, basically having a chance to partner with different countries. Like I went over to France on behalf of the Saints, so the France is kind of like our sister country, for the New Orleans Saints. So it's one of our charges now, across all the NFL teams is to you know, partner with a country around the world and then help provide support resources to help grow the game of football in those countries so that here in 5 years, we're going to have young men and young ladies out there representing their countries playing flag football. So what a great way to continue to grow the sport around the world. And also, I think for young girls, give them a vision for what's possible, right? Like young girls up until this point have been playing flag football and, hey, it's fun, but at some point it ends. Well, now it doesn't necessarily have to end, right? Like you have a chance to go on and represent your country at the Olympics, become an Olympian doing that.
Drew, I'm not saying you're timeless, but I'm saying like you were slinging the rock at 40 years old. 2028, are you still going to try and get out there and sling that thing one good time? I just saw you just last weekend, Drew. I'm just saying, I saw the heater. I saw the heater with the left.
You saw me throwing left. Look, if I trained, man, it's so tempting, bro. It's so tempting.
I might change positions by 2028. Like, I may lose 30 to try and get in.
I think I've passed the baton on to the young Breeze kids. You know what I'm saying? And to Tank Jordan. You know, I think we're passing the baton on to the next generation to go represent the U.S. in the Olympics.
I'm saying, like, your oldest kid will be like 18 or 19.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're here.
Right about time. That makes sense. Hey, I might have to hold it down for the Jordan clan. Try and just drop 30 and be like, yeah, what's up? I'm here for this 5-on-5.
Yeah. Megatron.
That's what I'm saying. Back. Yeah. Treat me like Jimmy in 2013. If you see me in the end zone, you know it's good.
Right. TDB. That was Jimmy and my saying back in the day. TDB. You know what it stands for? Throw me the damn ball. Huh? If I'm in the end zone, I'm open. Okay. Nobody else around here is 6'7", 270. I'm open.
Nobody. And you know, while I've never actually asked you this question because you know. I'm thinking like draft comparables because now I'm thinking about my kids in the draft, your kids in the draft. Every year they come out with like those comparables, right? The next Cam Jordan, the next, you know, I have not seen a next Drew Brees. And is there one? Have you ever seen somebody comparative? I only bring this up because Teron said Tua is like the next Drew Brees. Teron Armstead over in Miami was like, man, he's got a lot of measurables, a lot of comparables to Drew Brees. And I said, huh. Okay.
Well, first off, everybody, and look, Sean Payton used to say this all the time. Like, we'd sit around and talk about personnel. You know, you're trying to see how different guys fit into the system, whether it's offense or defense. And look, we're all visual people. And so if you can, anytime you can take someone and give them a comparison, I think it just gives you an immediate vision as to, oh, okay. Like now I see how that guy fits into this offense because I know the guy's skill set that you were just talking about. If we're saying this guy can eventually be that guy, all right, I've got a vision for him, right? So I think the first thing I think of when somebody says like, oh, that's a Drew Brees. First off, you're talking about a short quarterback. Like, let's just be honest. You're talking about a guy who's like, you know, on the shorter side, right? So maybe part of the 6 foot and under club like yours truly right here.
Woo! But finally admit it, bro. I appreciate that. Look, it's about time.
But I like to think that we've changed the perception or the misconception about the short quarterback, right? Like back when I was first coming into the league, like that was a big deal. Even 10 years ago, that was a big deal. I think enough has happened now where you see the Russell Wilsons, the Kyler Murrays, the Baker Mayfields, some of these other guys now that are, man, they're like 6 foot, 6'1". And it's not even discussed anymore. Like that used to be the first thing out of somebody's mouth if they were trying to, you know, talk bad about a kid coming out, he's only 6 foot. Nobody says that anymore, right? So I think the game has evolved and changed enough to where maybe that misconception's gone. But then, like, let's look at the other things. Okay, I was never the strongest arm guy, right? Like, I felt like I could make all the throws, but I was forced to throw with anticipation because, maybe I didn't have as strong an arm as some of the other guys in the league. Well, what does throwing with anticipation force you to do? It forces you to be prepared. And to be on the same page with your receivers, to have incredible chemistry, to know what the defense is, because you've got to know where defenders are and where they're not. Because guess what? You aren't always going to see those defenders, but you're going to know the spot and you're going to have to trust that. I've always felt like accuracy is trust and anticipation, right? Trust the play, trust the coverage, trust the guy you're throwing to, anticipate the throw, and the ball is where it needs to be. And you got to expect your guy to be there too. Why do you expect him to do that? Because you've worked at it, right? Because you worked at it.
Did you develop that at Purdue or the Chargers? Or when did you didn't just like, you weren't straight out of Texas like anticipation.
I got
that. No, I mean, but I kind of was though. I mean, that's to me, that's always been my survival mechanism. You know, like you learn to survive, right? I mean, call it what you want. Animals in the wild, like, right? Like you, chameleons change in color so they don't get attacked. You know, like they blend in. Like that's, you have to do what you have to do in order to survive and get the job done. And so if you're not a strong arm guy, you have to learn to throw with anticipation or else ball's not going to get there on time. Ball's going to get knocked down, picked off, not going to succeed. So I look at guys like Tua. I look at guys like Brock Purdy. To me, maybe those are two of the guys that are most similar from the perspective of, hey, they're shorter quarterbacks, right? They're not the strongest arm guys. I would say, look, man, like they've got a lot of experience. I mean, Tua had a lot of college snaps. Brock Purdy at Iowa State had a lot of college snaps. I was a 3-year starter in college. I think that's something that as scouts look at, you know, young QBs, that can't be underestimated. And that is their experience level in college. Like, look at the hype that was put around guys like Mitch Trubisky, Trey Lance. And I'm not saying those guys aren't going to become, you know, great players, but those guys only had 11 games or less in college, right? So you think about the number of games, the number of snaps, the amount of experience, like you kind of expect them to come in and be this world beater. Well, no, that takes time, right? It takes time because it takes experience and it takes reps and just time on task, right? So I think these are all things that as you look at like this next generation of QBs, and experience in college is so important, right? And then, you know what? Height's no longer an issue. Like, can this dude process the game? Does he have leadership ability? Can he throw with anticipation? Does he fight back from adversity? Like, does he have some mental toughness and fortitude to like overcome tough situations? Because everybody's going to face those tough situations, even within the course of a game. Does this guy have a mechanism where he can move on from bad plays and get on to the next play and not let that affect, you know, what's going to happen next and get right back on track?
Can you quantify that as an attribute though? Like, can you be like, oh, what is his mentality as from drafting somebody? Like, you like, oh, you can only deal with your tangibles. How do you, is there a gauge for that?
No, I'd say this, like, man, like I'm going to bring up names that you know, because we played with these guys. Like Pierre Thomas was the first guy that came to mind.
Right.
Pierre Thomas, undrafted free agent out of University of Illinois, right? Nobody's heard of Pierre Thomas. Comes in and basically makes our 2017 by blocking like two punts in preseason. Because we had drafted Antonio Pittman, a running back out of Ohio State, like in the third or fourth round, right, that year.
Yeah.
And here's PT coming in as an undrafted free agent. And basically, he's only going to make the team on special teams, right? So he ends up making the team, but he plays so well in the preseason that, like, we're forced to cut this other guy, right?
Man.
And then he starts off the year at, like, four-string running back. He blocks a punt on Sunday Night Football at Seattle when they're undefeated in 07, right? And then before the end of the year, this dude's a starter. The last game of the season we played at Chicago, he had 100 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving. It's like the first time it had ever been done in Saints history.
Drew, what year is that? And why do you remember?
Dude, I got crazy recall when it comes to this kind of stuff, because like these are life lessons, right? Like these are the things that I'll sit up at night and tell my kids, or like something will happen in a game and I'll be like, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about somebody, right? And like Pierre Thomas, here's a dude who was just constantly sold short. Like, man, you're not good enough. We're not going to draft you. Like, you're going to have to make the team on special teams, this and that. Like, this dude did nothing but earn it, like, every single day, right? Until all of a sudden it was time for him to get his opportunity, and guess what? He was ready. And he wasn't afraid of failure. He wasn't afraid of adversity. He wasn't afraid of challenges or stuff being hard, because he'd been through it, man. He'd been through it his whole life, right? All the way up through his career, too. How many times have we seen guys come in this league and, man, it's just been spoon-fed to them? It's been given to them. They never really had to face like that kind of adversity or earn it. Like, it's just been coddled a little bit. And all of a sudden, stuff gets hard, you know? And I've never had to face this before. I don't know what this is like. And they go in the tank and they don't have that mechanism just to be able to, like, man, this is just part of life, right? This is what's here to make me better. And, you know, like, I'm ready for this. it's probably the main thing that's wrong with the transfer portal right now. You're just making it easy on everybody. Oh, you're unhappy. Oh, okay, you always have an out. Well, guess what? What happens if you're in a situation where you don't have an out? You got to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are depriving a lot of these college kids the opportunity to face adversity and to develop the traits and attributes that are going to help them be the best that they can be, not just in athletics, but in life.
Right, on and off the field.
We're depriving these kids, man. Let's make them work for it. Make them earn it. Get off my soapbox now, Cam.
No, I mean, I'm with you. I be seeing these kids leave for these bigger NIL deals, and I'm like, and that's what you get. When you ball out, you get a bigger call.
So what are we putting
the priority on? Are we putting on education? Are we putting on being in the best system, the best program, the best coach, like the best environment? No.
Maybe. Hey, maybe, you know, if you're leaving, you know, Ohio a state, and you know because you're not starting there, whatever it is, and you get a transfer into like a University of California at Berkeley, you've just elevated your education right there. Boom.
But how hard is it to be a college coach right now,
man? Oh yeah, no doubt. My D-line coach now is a DC over at Oregon, or my D-line coach from college at Cal is a DC over at Oregon, and I mean, luckily they have 45 different jerseys every other week, so I mean, it's probably a little easier his ways, but these kids don't care. They're going for dollar signs now.
Coach Prime, or you have an endless budget.
Right.
Or you are
Nick Saban.
Right? It's so hard, man. It's so hard. This actually, transfer portal is the best thing for Alabama. Best thing for Alabama. You know why? Because Alabama can never make a bad investment. Never make a bad investment. What if I told you, Cam, that you could invest money into something, and if it doesn't work out, you just get your money back and you can move on to the next one? Like, you'd never go wrong, right? My point is this. Alabama's recruiting pitch to kids is, hey, come here. We'll coach you hard. We'll get the best out of you. Every year we're going to bring in the best players. And if it doesn't work out for you, you can transfer and give us back that scholarship. How about that? Right?
So it works both ways.
Yeah, but man, it's really good for Alabama. Think about it. Otherwise, Alabama would have to be really selective, right? Because all of a sudden you recruit a kid, he comes in, maybe he's not what you thought he was, you're stuck with him. You're not stuck with him anymore. You just treat him like crap, so he leaves, and then you take a scholarship back and you still make another investment. You never lose.
Man.
Never lose.
I mean, that's sort of, now that you say, I'm formulating what's going wrong. I'm like, all right. No, that creates a lot of holes in the thing. Like, these kids, yeah, absolutely. Bro, so now, where do these kids formulate the mindset to become a leader? Like in my mind, at college, like, that's how I became a leader. It was like that freshman, sure, I was a true freshman. So, like, I fought to get playing time. I fought, you know, I was on all special teams. In my mind, I popped off my freshman season. I made the first tackle on kickoff against Tennessee at Cal, right? And I was like, I had to work my way up. Even, you know, like, that made me who I was. I looked at a defensive end opposite of me, Tyson Alulu, who ended up going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, like, top 10 picks or whatever it was. Like, there was a mission there. I was like, I want to be better than him. There's, like, you know, goals there. There was never leave Cal, I guess. It was like, how do I make the best of this 4 years that I have?
Exactly. So let's be honest. Like, look, man, there was moments during my freshman year where I questioned myself. I questioned, you know, was I doing the right thing? Was I in the right environment? Was I in the right situation? Like, I think every kid has those feelings and emotions. Perfectly natural. But if the answer to that is suck it up, like, learn to handle adversity. It's supposed to be hard. Embrace the challenge. You're not going anywhere. Like, then you work through it. On the other hand, if it is, hey, it's okay. You can just leave. You can hit the reset button on your video game controller, right? You're having a bad game. You just hit the reset button and just go somewhere else and just start over, right? It's okay. And oh, guess what? If it doesn't work out there, let's hit the reset
again.
Let's just keep kicking this can down the road. Let's just keep transferring out till you find something. Like, come on.
Jeez.
Come on. Now, look, I'm not saying that at some point, like, look, Joe Burrow's a perfect example. He goes to Ohio State. Red shirts, sits for 2 years, gets beat out time and again, And then finally has the realization, you know what? Like, I'm not going to play here.
And then he goes over to LSU.
Yeah, so you know what? I'm going to transfer out. But, man, he was there 3 seasons at least, I believe. And so he's had to fight through it. He's had to struggle. Now he's got a giant chip on his shoulder when he leaves 3 years later. And look what happens when he goes to LSU. So, look, there are successful examples of that. But it was after a period of time where they had to, like, get through the fire a bit. They had to suffer a bit. And I'm sure that Joe Burrow would recognize the value of being at Ohio State for 3 years.
It probably made him more of a leader because he valued it that much more.
No question, man. I'll tell you what really comes as a result of that is gratitude. And that's probably the greatest trait that any of us could have is gratitude.
Drew, just bringing it back to you, would that add into your leadership qualities? Like, when did you become a leader? Because when I got there, you already had the huddle chants going. And like, when did you become a leader? You weren't just a born leader. Or maybe you were. Texas football is different. I don't know. But like, when did you know you were? Let's just keep it to, you know, the professional anyway. So when did you know?
I'd say this. I'd say I've always loved sports, right? I've always gravitated to sports. You know, sports always gave me great confidence. You know, I always felt like I was an athletic kid, you know, so I could pick up a sport and I could, you know, usually figure it out pretty quick, you know, and then I'd be good at it. And then that would build self-esteem and all that stuff. So I've always wanted to be the guy who had the ball in his hands, right? If I'm playing basketball, I'm either the point guard or the shooting guard. If I'm playing baseball, I'm either the pitcher or the shortstop, right? Like, the list goes on, right? Like, I want to be the dude with the ball in his hands who's going to win the game, right? Or who's in charge, who's in control of the moment and the situation, right? And getting people on the same page and all that. Like, I dig that. Like, I thrive on that stuff, right? So I do think there is some innate stuff that happens with that where you can just see it in some kids, right? Like, when you're on the field, you're like, man, that guy's got some natural leadership ability, right? But so much of what I learned through the years was from having great mentors, from being around incredible players, like watching guys. Like, when I stepped into the locker room my rookie year, I was staring at Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison on the other side of the ball. And I was terrified of these dudes. But like, also like, just profound respect, because these dudes were the first one there. They were working their ass off. Like, during practice, man, they did not let anything slide. Nothing. So like, they set the tone early as to, this is the level of expectation. This is the way that we operate around here. And if you don't like it, then get the out, right? Like, you have to get in line. And then I'm right alongside LaDainian Tomlinson, right? And then Lorenzo Neal comes in, who was an awesome mentor for me. I had Doug Flutie there. I mean, I'm playing for Marty Schottenheimer, one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I come to New Orleans, and it's Sean Payton, and it's all the guys like you and others that we played with that I had a chance to be around every day and, like, woke up every day wanting to go win for. So, like, you're so much of a product of your environment and those that you're surrounded with, and they just bring out the best in you. Like, I've always felt like, what's the best leadership trait? Like, if you were to boil it down, what's the best description of a leader? It's someone who can bring out the best in other people. And that's done in a lot of different ways, right? Like, I would call Marcus Colston and Darren Sproles leaders. Those guys, as you know, did not say much, but all you had to do was watch them work. And if that didn't inspire you, then I don't know if you got a heartbeat, right? Like, those dudes would come to work and work their tail off. And like, I was so inspired by those guys every day. So I feel like I'm just a product of being around some great people.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you say that and you can, you know, Marcus Colston, 9 1,000 yard seasons, called him the quiet storm. But it does say something for the guys who work and talk and inspire, because you can be inspired by watching anybody, you know, but when you talk that talk and you walk that walk, then like, that's where in my mind you become a leader. Like, you can dub anybody a captain. I feel like a captain is a patch. A leader is something more. Like, it feels like a leader is a rally point. And that's what I like to be. Like, I want to be a rally point because I'm balling, because I'm doing things the right way. Like, you look, you just gravitate towards, all right, well, if he's doing this, I can push myself to be more. So that's why you are a rally point, like a leader. You know, there's certain guys you just look for, like, bro, the amount of work that he puts in, I got to put in more. Like, if you're challenging me to be better, you know, and like, and that's what I like. Like, oh, we talk about excellence. Well, that's why we're being excellent, because there's so many things that were going on. Like this, like even this season in New Orleans, like we caught up Thursday after we lost. And I was like, you know, I was like, just catching up, trying not to talk football. But now that I got you on this podcast, what do you see from this first 7 weeks of New Orleans Saints football? And how can that be cleared up and or get better? How would you assess us? Let's go with that word.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think defensively, you guys have been pretty consistent. I think offensively, it's been a bit inconsistent. I think there's, as you look at every game you've played, I think you would look at it and say, man, there's no reason why you couldn't have won all of them. I know Tampa got a little out of control, right? But besides that, I mean, you guys could be sitting here at whatever 7-1.
6-1. You know? Yeah, right. We could be sitting at 6-1, respectively. Yeah. Just
right. So you know, that part's kind of frustrating, because I think you know that there's more in the tank. Look, I think all the pieces are there. Like, it'd be one thing if you were sitting here saying, man, I think, you know, you've had some significant injuries, or, you know, you're really missing some key components. I don't think you are at all. Certainly, as I look at it, like, I look offensive side of the ball, you know. Man, when we go up tempo, I think we are highly effective. I think that creates a great rhythm for the offense. I think that's when we are at our best. I think that was shown in the fourth quarter the other night, right? We get down, all of a sudden we're up tempo, man, we're moving the ball right down the field. And I'm probably, it's not like they were just playing prevent and letting it happen. I mean, they were running the same pressures, they were doing the same stuff they were doing the whole game. We were just a bit more on point because we had this rhythm and this flow going.
Sense of urgency. I feel like when teams go huddle up, it's either one, they're trying to slow the defense down, or two, their desperation is kicked in.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say this, man. We have always been an offense that had a lot of things for a defense to worry about, right? You got Kamara in the backfield. You got tight ends that are explosive. You got receivers all over the place, playmakers that are tough one-on-one matchups, right? So I still feel like that is the case, right? Like, I still see Mike T being a guy who can catch 7 or 8 balls a game. I see dudes in Olave and Shahid that are like Meacham and Devery were for us back, you know, in that window from 7 to 13, where, like, air raid, like, push the ball down the field. You know, when you get in the red zone, we said it earlier in the show.
Strike.
If Jimmy's standing in the end zone, I don't care who's there or who's covering him. That would be a great. That'd be a great spot to use him. I mean, look, there's Taysom Hill. Is like, I'm still amazed at, like, everything that I see from him, and I should know better. I should know better because I've seen everything this dude can do, and yet I'm sitting there watching the game on Thursday night, and the guy was the tight end in 2 minutes. He probably had 35 snaps at the tight end position, in addition to quarterback, in addition to running back, in addition to all these other positions that he plays. And it's still like, man, it's like one of the greatest weapons in the league, right? And so I think, like, if anything, that would just get me really excited about the rest of the season. And as this continues to unfold, I think with more of a tempo and just kind of, you know, creating the rhythm, getting the ball into these playmakers' hands in space, right, which we've got plenty of them, and then just finding those matchup problems that we've got them all over the field. I think that we're in a great spot. I really do.
I think, honestly, with 10 games left, I feel like there's so much potential. We have to capitalize, like, now. It's becoming, you know, we used to have those gotta have it wins. It's becoming in that sense of, like, we have to be able to turn it on now. You know, years prior, we've talked about stacking wins and getting, it starts with this week. So we're going into this week with this mentality to win. And, you know, as you've taught me over the years, leadership is so important in these locker rooms. This locker room feel, it's leadership, and it's these rally points that this is where you take that, hey, okay, we're 3-4. This is how we go beyond to that next step. It's time to elevate, and it starts with the leaders up top. So I appreciate you tuning in, bro. I know you got things you got to do. I wanted to talk about pickleball and how your game is, because I still have yet to do it. But we'll talk about that another day. I just want to know, it's being a pickleball owner.
Will you get... We've got to get the Saints to build a couple pickleball courts right there next to the indoor facility, and we can get some games going. All right, like a little off season, maybe a little Tuesday off day run around. You know, like Let's get this going.
Right. I mean, you're already a pickleball team owner. How much longer do I have to wait till I just hear that ticker go across? Drew Brees. Yeah.
Come on. I'm just saying. Fine. Yeah, you say no.
Yeah. Look, I like leaving it to the pros there. You know, I'll just kind of, you know, just be working behind the scenes.
Okay. Perfect. Appreciate you topping in, bro. Go tell the kids and fam I said hi. They'll be great.
Yeah.
Continue being legendary.
Hey. Peace. Keep it later, brother.
All right, yes, man, sir. Brother.
Man, you think about Drew Brees tapping in with the podcast. That's legendary. I mean, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's Drew Breesiana. Come on, everybody. Nice ball, number 9. Used to be all you heard at practice. He'd air it out. You know, Jimmy would score in the end zone. You'd have Marcus Colston, you know, Devery Henderson, Pierre Thomas, Kenny Stills, Brandon Cooks, the myriad and gambit of wide receivers over the years that was able to, you know, Robert Meacham was able to catch from one of the greatest to ever do it, ever to lace him up. It's Drew Brees. You know, you're going to say most Super Bowls to be won, Tom Brady. You're going to say most 5,000-yard seasons, you know, most yards while he was playing, Drew Breesiana. Anyways, that's just a thing to be said. I appreciate him tapping in with me. Everything that, you know, he's done on the field, you can't be replicated. His leadership qualities can't be replicated. And you aspire to be a leader. I mean, I go in and day out, like, how can I help better my teammates? So he calls a leader somebody who betters his people around him. And that's what I aspire to be. I'm trying to better my D-line. I'm trying to, you know, better my guys behind me. But, you know, I feel like guys like Demario Davis are just as important as leaders. I feel like guys like Honey Badger and even Marshawn Lattimore, the way he's came on this season and becoming a leader himself. These are, you know, guys that are rally points on our defense, and we're going to get better, you know? So whatever comes this next 10 weeks, just know we are going full head of steam into this weekend. Make sure you tap in with the podcast, spread the word, tell your mama's mama, tell your mama's friends about us over at Off the Edge with Cam Jordan. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, follow us on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, I'm going to keep saying again because again is great. Thank you for tapping in with Off the Edge with Cam Jordan. It's been real. I've got to go watch my kids practice. Peace.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.